Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Woo, that's loud. I'm down here at the Columbus Arts Festival with classical music host Christopher Purdy and also our first guest of the day, Milt Bauman. He is the interim president of the Greater Columbus Arts Council. Milt, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ann.
It's a lovely day out here. I don't know what they're talking about, these scattered thunder showers or pop-ups or whatever they call them.
I think they're all going to pass by. I think we're going to be fine.
I think so, too. So far, so good, at least. Milt, we want to talk about the Columbus Arts Festival as it stands today, past, present, and future. You wrote a letter to go with the 2009 Greater Columbus Arts Council for its annual report. You said that that year brought many challenges. What have some of those challenges been?
Well, I think a lot of it's centers on funding, which should not be a great surprise. We have a wonderful, vibrant arts community in Columbus, but it certainly is struggling, as is not unusual across the country. And the funders, the supporters of these arts groups are also struggling. So we have a situation where the arts groups have seen declines in revenue over the last 4 to 5 years. This is not a recent recession-related problem. I frankly think it really almost goes back to 9/11, but I don't have the empirical data to support that in front of me. But we really have the arts organization struggling with both earned and unearned income. You've got a wonderful group of arts organizations that are also very much undercapitalized. They really don't have the cash reserves, the endowments that you would hope you'd have to position these organizations to be as vital as they want to be. But I would say really quickly that the leadership of the arts organizations in Columbus have really stepped up. They've saw these issues early. They've taken a number of really constructive steps toward things like shared services, shared facilities, collaborations. Of course, expenses have been cut significantly, but there has been an aggressive posture on the part of the organizations to address diminishing resources and hopefully being in a position that when the economy starts to rebound, that they'll be in a good position to move forward from there.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Milt Bauman. He is the interim president of the Greater Columbus Arts Council. Also with me, when I say our, I mean me and Christopher Purdy. Christopher, I didn't officially welcome you to the show.
Well, I'm delighted. Thank you. This is our first official duet, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's very nice.
I was very excited about it.
As long as you lead, I'm fine.
No. It depends on what we're talking about.
Okay. I wanted to make the point, as someone who was involved in the arts world, as many of us are on the station here in Central Ohio, that even in lean economic times, the arts seem to be thriving in terms what's going on, the quality of what's going on, and the quantity of what's going on. There are ever more theater groups. There are ever more musical ensembles, sometimes smaller ones, but doing very well. They are adapting, I think, to leaner times. But remember, we have the Lincoln Theater that's been reintroduced to the community. That's brilliant. It's wonderful. We have the symphonies had bad times and good times, but they are playing better than ever, and that point needs to be made. So is it necessary to reconcile a lousy economic situation with the fact that we are functioning quite well, I think?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a credit to these organizations, as you said, and you've had things like the partnership of the symphony with Kappa. You've had the merger of CATCO and Phoenix. Again, these are really difficult steps for many organizations to take, but with the support of their board, with the support of their patrons, this has worked and hopefully not really impacted the performances of these groups.
You know, in a drought, the roots go deeper, and maybe that makes these organizations stronger for the future.
That's right.
I think that one question that I really wanted to know, Milt, is that you're the interim director, but you've been involved with GCAC for a number of years. But your first morning on the job as interim director, you sat at the desk, you opened your computer with a folder, and you said what? You can say it on the air.
What's this arts festival?
And while we're on the subject, what is the arts festival thing? Well, should we introduce that as well?
Well, I have to tell you that I came into this position in September, and the Arts Festival was on my mind pretty quickly because of all the work that goes into this. And we really appreciate Ann, you, and the WOSU team coming here today to really welcome the Arts Festival, to open us up at 11:30 this morning. This is our 49th arts festival, annual arts festival, which is hard to believe. Next year will be the 50th arts festival. And if you don't mind, a couple things I would say, and that one is we really need to recognize the support that puts on the arts festival. We do not have public funding in this arts festival. It is supported by an unbelievable team of volunteers, sponsors that are very supportive to it, the city of Columbus, who is very supportive to it, and then also the community of Columbus that comes down to the Discovery District and is supports the artists that are here and the entertainment that's here. But I have to go back to the volunteers. The thing that really blew me away as I started to learn about the Arts Festival is to see this coordinating committee of 30 to 40 volunteers and the hundreds, literally hundreds of volunteers that support that, and the effort that goes into this project. We could not do it without them. We've got volunteers that have been doing this for 16, 17, and 18 years. They take personal vacation days to support the Arts Festival. And it's a very humbling to be a very minor part of this process and to see the work that goes into it, the coordination that goes into it, the institutional knowledge that's part of this whole process. It's a lot of fun.
All that's great, but why should people come down?
Well, I think a number of things. First of all, we've got 230 great artists here with their work. We had over 1,000 artists apply to present at this arts festival. And after, I hate to call it a blind jury, because that doesn't sound like it's a good way to judge art. But we have a jury that looked at each of the 1,000 applicants without knowing where they're from, who they are, what their price points are, and we ended up with the 230 wonderful artists. We've got some great entertainment going on all day today, tomorrow, and Sunday. We've got great poetry slam going on, other poetry work happening. And last but not least is our food vendors. And that's a real important part of the festival and the fun that surrounds the festival.
I wanted to make the point, too, that if you're coming to the festival, first, I want you to pinpoint exactly where we are. But secondly, when you come to the festival, there are booths. The food area is behind the Columbus Museum of Art, as are the booths for CATCO and Kappa and the Symphony and the opera and ballet met. So go and visit them as well and find out more about what's going on while you're eating over there. But give us a little mini geography lesson.
Where
are people coming? Where are we?
We are on the east side of downtown. We're just off Broad Street between roughly Washington and Cleveland and between Long Street and Broad Street. If you drive down Broad Street, we're really right behind the Columbus Museum of Art.
The Big A. Look for the Big A.
The Big A is at the CCAD campus where we're sitting right now. We've got great support from the institutions in the Discovery District, people like Motorist Mutual and State Auto. We've got great support from CCAD, the museum, Thurber House, and others here, so it's a great partnership.
If you have a question or comment for Milt Bauman, the interim president for the Greater Columbus Arts Council, about the Arts Festival or anything, give us a call. Well, don't call us today, but you can email us or you can Facebook us. So email us at allsides@wosu.org or go to the All Sides Facebook page, and we'll connect up. We've got this all rigged up so that I can hear from you besides using a telephone. Yeah, Milt.
One other thing I'd like to, and I mentioned the importance of our sponsors. The Arts Festival presenting sponsor is Time Warner Cable, which has been a really important sponsor for the Arts Festival. This is our third year with Time Warner. We also have great support from State Auto Insurance, Motorist Mutual Insurance, AEP is one of our lead sponsors. So this is a real community effort, and we've had great support, as I said, from the organizations, both businesses and educational organizations in the Discovery District.
I think one of the cool things about the festival that a lot of people don't know is that there's a lot of hands-on kind of activities and family activities. It's not just, walk around and look.
Absolutely. Right behind
in
the museum, the Columbus Museum of Art's parking lot, is a hands-on art for children that's sponsored by Giant Eagle, and that's always a real popular part of the Arts Festival.
So how has it been in the Discovery District? A lot of people were worried, and certainly the first year there was a big downturn. Last year it went back up again to the usual level, so it's not a deterrent in that way.
No, I don't. In the first year in 2008, we had a really hot weekend.
It was awful. I remember that.
I think that impacted us to some degree. Last year was perfect, and we're going to have another perfect one this year. I think people like the layout here. The access sometimes is a little easier than the riverfront, and it's again the neighbors here really help us a lot too.
You anticipate going back to the riverfront, though, is that correct?
Well, we're in constant contact with the managers at the Scioto Mile and the development there, and we're going to be in a position to make a decision on that later this summer.
GCAC is a grant-making organization using the bed tax, if I'm not correct.
That's correct.
What is your role, aside from that, in leaner economic times? Are you also lobbying and advocating publicly in ways that don't always involve a change of money, of guilt, as it will?
No, absolutely. I think there are a couple things that grant making is one of our primary functions from the hotel motel bed tax, as you said, Christopher. We have a really important educational outreach program funded by Franklin County, which has been terrific for us. Art advocacy is a role that we embrace in terms of trying to educate the community on the opportunities for experience art in our community. The other thing that we run this arts festival too once a year, and so that takes up a little bit of our time.
Takes a little bit.
Doesn't it pay for itself?
I was going to say, do you probably start next year the day after this ends, or you're doing it now? Probably.
I hate to admit that we've got meetings next week to talk about how this year went and to plan for next year.
Of course, and next year, of course, is the 50th
anniversary.
Is there going to be a big to do?
Well, I think we've already got some ideas around the 50th. I think it's going to be really fun. It's very unusual for an organization, an arts festival, to have that kind of breadth. And I think our Midwestern modesty sometimes holds us back a little bit. The arts festival has been recognized by American Style magazine as one of the essential arts festivals to attend. It's also been recognized by Sunshine magazine, which is directed primarily to artists, as being a great festival for artists. So we get a lot of recognition nationally that maybe we don't always appreciate in our own hometown.
We're going to have to take a break pretty soon, but Christopher, can you talk about the complaint choir before
we do?
I want everyone to hear from the complaint
Sounds
choir.
Sounds terrific. The complaint choir is something that's been working, that's been based at the Columbus Museum of Art, and it's a bunch of people getting together and they're singing new original work based on people's complaints, apparently, kind of a B session, if you will. And they are appearing tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at First Congregational Church, which is right around the corner from where we are. There's a wonderful concert being given tomorrow night at 7 to benefit Haitian Relief. And it's featuring the Magpie Consort and some drummers and the Complaint Choir. And don't miss those. Our own Marilyn Smith had a story on them this morning here on
WSU. She did, and we can get a cup from that. But they are going to be at the art festival tomorrow, somewhere around 5. Look at the schedule.
5 o'clock tomorrow, and then at 7 o'clock in the church, which is right here by the festival, and that's a free will offering to benefit.
And I recommend anybody just Google Complaint Choir. You'll get all sorts of fun things to listen to. But for now, let's listen to this.
The snow plows never come to my street. That emerald ash borer's gonna eat all my trees. There's never enough time in the day. Too many dishes, too much laundry. Rabbits always build their nests in my dog run. Now what's up with that?
Okay.
I'd be right at home with those people. That sounds wonderful to me. I won't miss that.
There's something for everyone with the Complaint Choir. That's all the time we have in this right now. We're going to have to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Hi, we're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. You know, a lot of people consider themselves automotive experts.
I had this theory that it put all the strain on the alternator from the battery and...
Kelly,
stop. You're hanging yourself. It's getting embarrassing now.
It was a great idea, but give it up.
Why not run your theories by us and 5 million other listeners, too?
Join us for Car Talk.
Car Talk Saturdays at noon on WOSU, NPR News, and classical music. 76 degrees in downtown Columbus, sunshine today. There is a slight chance of rain, but only a 30% chance, a high of 85. Clouds tonight and a chance of rain and thunderstorms tonight as well, a low of 68 degrees. Cloudy for Saturday and a chance of rain, a high of 85.
Support for WOSU comes from Meijer. In partnership with the Nature Conservancy, Meijer works to protect nature and preserve life. Information is available at nature.meijer.com.
All Sides with Ann Fisher, broadcasting from the Columbus Arts Festival, continues on WOSU 820, NPR News.
We are back. Okay. We are back. Did you want me to jump in?
Well, yeah, jump in and tell them what we were just listening to.
Well, we were just listening to, live from the Columbus Arts, was that Andrew Hartman in Still Motion? This is why it's live radio, see?
Wasn't exactly live, but it was a recording of a group that will be appearing and performing at the Arts Festival.
Let's hear some more this afternoon.
But right now, let's introduce our guest, and we'll coordinate that better next time. I'm Christopher Purdy. I'm not Ann Fisher. You're Ann Fisher.
Yes.
But the show is called All Sides with Ann Fisher, as
Couldn't
it should
be. Couldn't
do
it without
be.
You
yes,
today,
yes. Well, thank you very much. We are live at the Columbus Arts Festival. By the way, come down and see us. We're at Cleveland and Avenue and Long Street. So come on by and say hello when the festival opens officially at 11:30. Milt Baumann is here. He is the interim director of the Greater Columbus Arts Council, the hosts of the Arts Festival. And it's my pleasure to welcome the father of music in our listening area in Central Ohio. He's too young to be the father, but Arnett Howard, welcome.
The grandfather
of
music.
No.
Arnett Howard, Ann Fisher, welcome. And talk to me about music and the Arts Festival right now.
Well, music, music, music. We're going to have plenty of music at the Arts Festival this weekend, and that's good. I mean, it's not an art, truly an art, unless there's music, because painters listen to Miles Davis while they're doing their work, and they listen to classical music. So,
please, God.
So we got an Arts Festival this weekend. I love this location. There's not a cloud in the sky right now.
It's perfect. It's perfect. We're right across from the
I don't know where the scattered thunderstorms are coming from, but it's perfect right now.
Yep, it's perfect.
Nice to be here.
What was it take? You've performed at the Arts Festival before.
It's been years ago, right? But we did perform for the Arts Festival down along the river. It performed at Bicentennial Park. Mm-hmm. We got a little too expensive for the Arts Festival, but that's neither here nor there. The Arts Festival is a nice entry point for bands who are breaking out, who are coming along.
Milt, who programs the Arts Festival? Who decides who performs? I know there's a jury for who shows here,
right.
But who decides who performs?
Well, we also have a committee that brings together the entertainment, and so they have a budget. And then they are soliciting applicants for performances and put together a program that'll, you know, we'll have going on full time on one of our stages.
Arnett, and I wanted to ask you because you would know because you're everywhere. What's the temperature of the performing arts in Ohio right now in Columbus in our area?
Well, of course, we've had a downturn because of the economic crisis of the last 2 years. So the downturn. There aren't as many clubs booking live entertainment as there was. Bands now, well, they're stacked deep to work at the clubs. But bands are going to have to find work, and there's still a lot of private events, a lot of weddings, a lot of private parties. So we're still finding a lot of schools, been doing a lot of elementary schools. In fact, I want to say hi to my friends in Plumwood, Ohio at Monroe Elementary School, where we're going to be in about 2 hours.
Oh, so you are busy.
Yeah.
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 What are the crowds like at the Arts Festival?
The crowds at the Arts Festival?
What are they like? I mean, what as audiences?
The last time I was at this particular Arts Festival was 2 years ago, and it was so hot. The crowds were a little lethargic, but crowds are good.
What do you get back from them? Because every different crowd, every festival, every locale has a different vibe.
There's
there's a 1979 word, a different vibe that gives back to the artists. What are you getting here from this one?
Well, I give to the Arts Festival. I just give a wonderful vibe, and then if it's a good audience, they give it back. You know, that's the difference between me and a lot of artists. A lot of artists try to bring the audience to them, but I go out to the audience and get in their face and make sure they have an opportunity to enjoy the audience. So it's a nice interchange.
How many bands? How many groups?
Well, we've got, I think, six today, starting at 11:30 through 10 tonight, and then another six on Saturday, and then four on Sunday.
Who have you got today, Mill?
I've got today. Tonight we've got Calendar for Preston. We've got Mojo on before that.
I know them well.
Brad Mellon is going to be on later this afternoon. Mm-hmm. So we've got a real good cross section of jazz, a little bit of hip hop, a little bit of rock, a little bit of alternative.
And what are you playing, Arnett? When are you at the festival here?
Well, I'm not at the festival this year. Maybe next. No, the festival is a chance for people to see new entertainment.
All right, fair enough.
They can see me Sunday night at Dublin Scioto Park.
Okay.
Sunday night about 7:00.
Milt, how does the arts festival fit into this cultural plan blueprint that I read about?
Yeah. Well, I think we're trying to see how we're going to bring 300,000 to 400,000 people to the Discovery District this weekend, as we have last year and the year before that. So we hope that we can use the exposure from the arts festival to the people who will be participating here, get to understand what our goals are as the cultural plan blueprint comes together. So we really hope to use this as a platform for sharing that information with the Columbus residents that join us.
Let's hear now about this Ohio Cultural Database Project. These are things that I just hadn't heard about until I read
it. It's a real interesting thing. It was started by the Pew Charitable Trust in Philadelphia originally. And what it does, and I probably won't describe it as well as I should, but it tries to build a common database for applicants applying for grants. And I think there are 12 or 13 different organizations in Ohio, including the Ohio Arts Council, GCAC, leading arts agencies in Columbus and Cincinnati, have all agreed to use this template, if you will, online template for applicants to apply for grants. And that then provides historical information for the applicants, and it also gives the applicants, whether it's the museum or the jazz arts group, an opportunity to compare their numbers, including attendance and ticket prices and obviously financial information, with other organizations to see how they do against them. So it's a real interesting project, and we've been real pleased that the GCAC has been able to participate in that, and we use that as our forum or platform for grant applicants.
I have a question for both of you, Arnett mm-hmm. Howard and Milt Bauman. If you were going to make one change or a change in the way the arts are perceived or presented in Central Ohio, absent money, mention the word money, what would you do? What would that be?
Changes in Central Ohio in the arts. Ooh.
Without money.
Without money.
All right. I would... You remember the parks? You remember the parks and series that we had in Central Ohio?
I do remember that, yes.
I would open up every park and have a concert at least twice a week in every park.
In Ohio, in Central Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic, A free concert for free
people. People tell me that they miss the parks, and they say that with such a sadness. They miss the music in the parks and the music along the river, and they miss that. So that's what I would do.
All right.
No, I think Arnett's right on the mark there. I think the other thing that I would love to see is we've got a great base of audiences for different arts organizations in the city. I'd love to see those audiences become bigger advocates, not only for their organizations, but for the arts in general. I think it's up to all of us individually to support the arts. And that doesn't mean just financially. It means try some new things. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you that I've tried as much as I should, but I think there's a lot of fun things, a lot of very stimulating productions going on in the city, and it's really important for people to you know, get outside their comfort zone, maybe.
People have gotten out of the habit of going places because we don't have free concerts in the park. There's a wonderful theater event happening in Schiller Park right now that's presenting.
The Actors Theater, yes.
Yeah. And so that's a good opportunity, but...
They are your constituents,
of course.
Not?
Yes. Oh, yes.
We've got parks
Treasure
all
Island,
over Central Ohio, and we need to get people in the habit of turning off the television and going out and seeing
Get
parks.
Off the couch and get out of the house.
If you look at www.columbusarts.org, you've got, or .com. Now I'm embarrassed. I'm not sure which.
It's org.
But it's org. And that gives you an outline of all of the arts events that are going on in the community and, you know, pick and choose. Try something new.
I think if you're at all interested in the arts in our area, you should bookmark that page because it's a very good website, www.columbusarts.org.
Thank you.
Excellent.
If you're just joining us, this is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU. I should say All Sides with Ann Fisher and Christopher Purdy.
Oh, aren't you nice. Thank you.
On WOSU 820. If you want to contact us right now and talk about the arts in Columbus, talk about the Columbus Arts Festival, go to allsides@wosu.org and send us an email. You can go to our Facebook page and pop us a note there. You can call us, apparently, if you want to try that out, 614-292-8513. Coming up in the rest of this hour, Jonathan Putnam. He's the CATCO Associate Artistic Director. And also Kathy Yoshimura. She's Ballet Met's Dance Academy teacher and ballerina. We'll be getting together with them and just a few minutes. In the meantime, give us a call or send us an email, allsides@wosu.org, if you would like to speak to our guests right now. Milt Bauman, Greater Columbus Arts Council Interim President, and also Arnett Howard, Columbus musician. But there's so much more, Arnett. I love looking at your little bio here.
Creole Funk Band.
Well, he's the former leader of Arnett Howard's Creole Funk Band. Musician, broadcaster, journalist, historian, traveler, communications
teacher.
Consultant, teacher, pilot, scuba diver, skier, confessed women's basketball addict, married to job. When you go out and you tell people about the Columbus Arts Festival, what do you tell them, Arnett?
What do I tell them?
Yeah, what do you tell them about it? If someone says, what's it like? Come on, why should I go?
It used to be along the river, and it was just a wonderful, nice lake. Take $20,000. Excuse me, we're not talking about
no
money. Take $20,000 with you when you go.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much wonderful art, and it is so expensive. But it's wonderful.
Show up. That's what you want to tell people. Show up. Get off the couch and get down here and show up.
Can I say hi to one artist? Back years ago, there were four Columbus watercolors. There was Leland McClellan. Do you know that name? Dick Bauer. There was Dick Phipps. And there was a man named Byron Cohn. There were four wonderful watercolors. And they started the Columbus Watercolor Society. And unfortunately, there's just one of them living right now, Byron Cohn, who's living down in MacArthur, and he's in hospice right now. But I wanted to say hi to Byron. Can I do that?
Well, do, yes.
Please do, yes.
All right. Hi, Byron.
Hi, Byron.
In a lot of ways, this is all about the artists. Where do they come from?
No? Across the country. As I said, we had 230 artists represented in the festival this weekend. We've got 10 from the Columbus area. We want to try to get more Columbus artists involved in it. As I said, the panel that chooses the artists that come don't know where they're from. We're thinking about ways that next year for the 50th anniversary we can find avenues to have more local artists because that's such an important part of our community and the need to have them involved.
Do you talk with other arts festival organizers around the country about the business?
That's important for us. We have informally, and there are meetings that are held that nationally that bring together the directors of arts festivals, and we try to participate in those things so we can learn, see what we can be doing better, where there might be things that we're not thinking about that we should be.
We're at the Columbus Arts Festival right now. If you want to join us down here, we're at the corner of Cleveland Avenue and Long Street. We're right across from the Lou Anne Crane Center for Design. Very cool building with lots of interesting
windows.
We got
smoothies on this corner and porta potties on that corner. So come on town. We've got everything. Yes.
All natural food drinks. And we're right next to a fabulous artist as well. I don't know her name, but it is really, really neat. You just start want to, you know, kind of rubberneck it around here a little bit and find your way. But hopefully you can find your way to the All Sides with Ann Fisher show right now, the WOSU booth at Cleveland Avenue and Long Street. Milt, what have you learned in the past year preparing for this? What would you do differently?
Oh,
without hurting anybody's feelings.
You know, I don't think that there's things that I would do differently with the Arts Festival. I think we're really fortunate to have the volunteer support, the corporate support, the city support. I think we just have to continue to find ways to, improve upon what we're doing now. The one thing that I was struck, though, as I got to know the festival a lot better, is we do try to be artist-centric. We really want this to be a successful weekend for the artists that come here, because that's going to help us draw better and more artists to our festival, and we think that's really the key. It's fun to have entertainment. It's great fun to have the food. It's fun to have the hands-on stuff, but you know, we need to be sure that our artists are successful.
Let's see. Today, starting at 11:30 a.m., by the way, I think the festival starts in just about an hour right now. That's officially fine. Kicks off at 11:30. And the Bob Niederreiter Quartet, Jazz Quartet, will be at the main stage. Also, Andrew Hartman and Still Motion, Brad Mellon Quartet, Violetta, Mojo Flow, Calendar for Preston. That's all at the ColumbusArts.com main stage. Where's that?
That's right on Long Street, just a little bit west of Washington, in the big parking lot by Columbus State.
Yeah. Now, I like it. ColumbusArts.com. Was it you, Christopher, that said, well, at least it's not you? The ColumbusArts.com. Is there always going to be a stage named like that now?
Oh, I hope so. Yeah. Yeah.
There's
we branded that. That's right. That now. Yes. Yes.
Ohio Magazine Word is Art Stage. What's that about?
That is right in front of the Loanne Crane Building, where the big art sculpture is, the big red art sculpture, and that's going to be poetry. A lot of it's poetry, particularly tomorrow on Saturday. We've got 25 to 30 different poets. We've got a poetry slam planned there. I that was another thing that really amazed me when we started to work toward that program. We had over 75 poets that applied to participate, which I thought
was
wonderful. A
wonderful
mm-hmm. thing.
That's great.
It says,
for how many slots?
We've got probably about 35 to 40. So we really had a great response for that, and it shows kind of the variety of things that we can do with a venue like this.
You could do this festival a couple of times a year without any absence of quality.
Oh, no,
I
couldn't.
It would kill you. It would kill you to do it. But, I mean, it would, the work of it would kill you. But you certainly could in terms of the quality that's out there and the certain level of interest among the presenters and the public as well. So come on down. It opens officially at 11:30, but we're not going to kick you out. If you come down now and walk around and be with us.
Hang out with us.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
Why not? Hey, and if you're a bicyclist, we're thinking of you as well. There's secure bicycle parking provided by Consider Biking at Long and Washington. It's right near the main stage. So if you want to just pedal on down and enjoy the art show and the art shows and the music and all the performances, you can do that thanks to Consider Biking. We're just about done with this segment. Milt Bauman, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you very
much.
Really appreciate it. Thanks for coming down to the Arts Festival, and I hope all your listeners will come down, too. It's going to be a great weekend.
I'm happy to be here. And Arnett Howard, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Arnett.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Bauman.
Good to be with you.
We have to take another break, but if you want to give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org, or find us on Facebook, All Sides with Ann Fisher on Facebook. Do it now. Get your questions and comments ready. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
See the new lineup of public affairs programming on Friday nights from WOSU-TV. Starting at 8 is Washington Week, followed by Columbus on the Record at 8:30. Continuing at 9 is the McLaughlin Group. And at 9:30, PBS presents Need to Know, a new program with an innovative broadcast and web approach to news gathering and reporting. Watch the new public affairs lineup every Friday night beginning at 8 on WOSU-TV.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News. And in Hour 2 of All Sides today, continuing to broadcast from the Columbus Arts Festival, incoming CATCO Artistic Director Steven Anderson and a veteran actor Linda Dorf. Also, WOSU food critic Rich Terapak and City Barbecue co-owner Jim Budros will be discussing the food at the Arts Festival. Stay with All Sides with Ann Fisher at 11 o'clock right here on WOSU 820.
Support for WOSU comes from the law firm Isaac Brandt Ledman & Teeter, offering legal services to Central Ohio since 1936. Isaac Brandt Ledman & Teeter, big enough to win, small enough to care. On the web at isaacbrandt.com.
It's 77 degrees in downtown Columbus. Sunshine today. There is a slight chance of rain and a high of 85. Clouds tonight with a slight chance of rain tonight as well. A low of 68 degrees. Clouds for Saturday and a chance of rain and a high of 85. All Sides with Ann Fisher from the Columbus Arts Festival continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Waiting for yes, waiting for no. Wanting to stop, but wanting to go. A path do I take? I feel so alone. Gotta make it on my own. I'm waiting for yes, I'm waiting for no. Wanting to stop, but wanting to go. A path do I take? I feel so alone. Gotta make it on my own.
Junior, how? What do they say in Russian?
Well, welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Christopher Purdy. Ann Fisher is here. We wouldn't do the show without her. On WOSU 820 NPR News, we're broadcasting live from the Columbus Arts Festival in the Discovery District. And you were just listening to a sample of the pop funk band Mojo Flow. The song was Waiting. Mojo Flow is performing tonight from 6:40 to 8:15 on the main stage. I'm swallowing because we've just been handed smoothie samples. Thank you very much to our smoothie friends over here. We're at Cleveland and East Long Street, and Ann Fisher, let me shut up now and give you back your show.
Well, let's introduce our new guests.
Okay.
How about that?
On my left, the prima diva of Ballet Met, Catherine Yoshimura. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. She's going to talk to us about... She just did a jeté across Long Street to get here on the cement and did that brilliantly.
I invite Christopher Purdy.
A disc in 5 seconds doing that. Catherine, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
And on my right, Jonathan Putnam from CATCO. He's
the prima diva.
Prima diva. You said it, not I.
Wait, premier diva.
Premier Devo.
Devo.
Man
Devo,
of
there you go.
Devo, yeah, I like that.
Contemporary CATCO, and you are in the midst of the funniest show I've ever seen. We'll talk about that in a moment. There you are.
We have Robin on the phone.
Hi, Robin.
And Robin, welcome to the show. I'm sorry I didn't get your call earlier.
Oh, that's fine. I'm so excited to hear about this. I just moved to Columbus recently, and I'm very excited about coming down to the festival, but I'm a little unsure... I had two questions. One was about the parking, the very mundane. Are there garages? Do you park on the street? What's this? Is it? Does it cost? What's the situation?
Number one, it's free.
It's free. Okay.
It's free.
It's free.
Unless you want to, you know.
If you want to pay, I guess you could. But the parking's free.
Is it free?
Oh, the parking, I don't know if that's free. The festival's free. You can park in the parking lots at Columbus State Community College.
You can bike down. There's a lot of parking.
You can bike down, yes.
The parking's a lot easier here than it is usually along the river, if you've heard us refer to the river location. Sure. So take advantage of that. And welcome to Columbus.
Thank you.
Come and see us. Thank you.
I absolutely will. My second question is, by any chance, are there going to be any classical music performances this weekend?
Well, Christopher Purdy. Christopher Purdy.
I don't know that.
Well, let me look.
I do know that Opera Columbus has a presence down here. There is a poetry slam going on. The Columbus Symphony has a booth down here. So they are all behind the Columbus Museum of Art near the food court.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have any kind of questions about that, the good folks there will be able to hook you up right away.
We have oldies, retro, world music, rock, pop, indie, alternative, R&B, blues, and funk, and Celtic, international. Lots of poetry, acoustic, guitar, blues acoustic. We have The Wind in the Willows at the Topiary Park performance, I think, on Saturday.
Wow.
You won't be bored. Robin, you won't be bored.
You won't be bored at all.
I'm sure I won't be bored.
Brazilian. Lots of wonderful music.
I hear the voice of Boyce is coming back.
Well, great.
The voice of Boyce, yes. He'll be here later this afternoon. Yes, he will.
Well, awesome.
If you listen to
WM.
Thank
you. I'm really looking forward to it.
Thanks for calling,
Thank
Robin.
You for calling.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Tell me about Ballet Met and tell me about Russia. How are those two topics timely right now?
Well, as we speak, my husband has 10 of the dancers.
Your husband is?
Gerard Charles.
Yes.
I thought everybody knew that my husband was Gerard Charles.
Who is?
The artistic director of Ballet Met. You should see Christopher. He's doing all this sign language.
I can't it's dance, like but I can wave. Never mind.
It's like a ballet dancer. No, it's wonderful. But Gerard Charles, my husband, who is director of Ballet Met, has 10 of the dancers over in Russia. They started in Moscow, and they will go to St. Petersburg later. They did their first show last night, and one of the pieces that they did, which was called Topsy, they had in true Russian spirit. Everybody was clapping
rhythmically
along with
yeah.
them. Yes, so it was it was an Americana bent that they wanted to take over to Russia. That Ballet Met was invited over on that. On that stance.
Ballet Met in the last several years has been really working outside of Columbus, which I guess is great for you. It's okay for us too, but we miss you. You've had two seasons in New York at the Joyce Theater.
Correct.
Now you're in Russia. Are we going to see more of that?
Well, you know what? It's tough. Everybody yeah. knows the economy is tough. Touring is even more difficult in terms of resources. But you know what it does for an artist to be able to go to a different country outside of their comfort zone, it really makes them richer as artists. And so last night my husband emailed and said they were sitting in Red Square. And I said, oh, my God, you know, Lenin, Trotsky, Stalin, all these great historic figures. And he said, no, it looks like Disneyland.
Desert.
So, so I mean, okay. That's what's so amazing about yeah. being able to go to these countries. I mean, you and I studied this when we were in school and thought, you know, it was this bleak country.
We would never maybe get to go there.
Yeah,
right.
You know,
and so you're absolutely
would never go there.
Right, and so then to be able to bring this back to Columbus, I think will serve the audience in a much more developed way, I hope.
You also have, and this bears repeating, there's a wonderful performance space now in back of the mm-hmm. Ballet Met studios. One of the things I love when I go and visit Ballet Met, you don't know I'm there, I crash because I like it so much. But if you walk in there at any given moment during a work day, the place is buzzing. Every room is filled with rehearsals or classes, uh-huh. Uh-huh. and you can hear music going on. I mean, it's a very busy place all the time. There's
yeah.
a real buzz of work going
yeah,
on.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. We're really worker bees. The performance space was a brilliant idea. I remember teaching ballet classes when it was not the performance space. It was this empty warehouse that they laid the floor down, and we sweat bullets. But to see it transformed into a space where the dancers get to practice their art form in a more intimate atmosphere, but also so that they can practice it more times. You know, it's like doing a competition. You do the first one, and you hope that you do it well, and if you get a medal, terrific. If you don't, you know, on to the next competition. I think to be an artist means much more of the ability to repeat and refine and understand, you know, that the gestures you're making have so much more definition every time you need it.
If you're just joining us, this is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820. And joining us in this segment, Kathy Yoshimura. I lost my place. And also Jonathan Putnam. I luckily remember that off the top of my head. Kathy, Jonathan Putnam, Associate Artistic Director of CATCO, and Kathy Yoshimura of the Ballet Met Dance Academy, where she's a teacher. If you want to give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org, or you can go to Facebook, on the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. You're welcome. Either way, if you have a question or comment about the Arts Festival, we're located right now at Cleveland Avenue and Long Street, right by the Fruit Smoothies, Strawberry Fields Fruit Smoothies, and I have to say, I'm a little reinvigorated.
Yes,
from our sample.
I'm a little punched with this.
I really appreciated
which for
that.
For me, is not a good thing.
It was a pick-me-up for me.
Now, I have to say one thing. you need to go to confession before you see Katko's next show, because you're going to die laughing at this thing. It's called The Mystery of Irma Vep. It was the funniest thing I saw back in the day. I dated myself because I saw the original production.
Yes.
But you're doing it. Jonathan Putnam and Jeff Nelson are the co-stars. Does it open? Has it already opened?
It opens tonight.
Opens tonight.
We've had three preview audiences.
Tell me about The Mystery of Irma
Vep. It's a spoof of gothic thrillers. You know, it's a stormy night in an English manor house. Vampires and werewolves and stuff like that. And I say this in the best way. It's the stupidest show.
But it's out.
And I love it. You can kind of tell when the audience, it takes about 20 minutes for the audience to realize, oh my God, this is really stupid. And it's great. And once they realize that, it's like, it's great.
I'd love it if someone sat through a Bruckner symphony and went, oh my God, this is really stupid. I never had the nerve to say that. Wonderful. So
Jeff and I play all the characters. It's a quick
now,
change.
How many are there? Do you even know?
I don't even know, tell you the truth.
There's
about
25 characters.
It's not that many. We don't play a bunch of characters. We just play them many times over. So there's about 50 costume changes in the whole show, and some of them are amazing. We have three dressers backstage, and it's just some of them are split second. It's really cool.
You also have men, women, and we're not sure in terms of genders.
Yes, men, women, and we're not sure.
Yeah, and we don't really care either. Yeah.
And I play Jane, the housekeeper, and we're not even sure about her.
Tell me when people can go and see The Mystery of Irma Vep.
It's at the Rife Center in Studio 2, and it runs through June 27th.
Jonathan Putnam is a member of the WOSU family because he is the voice of Columbus Neighborhoods, The Short North, that was done on TV.
That was a wonderful project to work on, and I thank Mary Rathke for contacting me about that, and it turned out really well.
Mary Rathke, you'll be a star. She can do that.
Yeah, you can learn more about Columbus Neighborhoods on WOSU.org. We have a link there. You can go there and share your stories and your reminiscences from the Short North area. Coming up, we're going to be having another documentary on German Village.
Yes,
very excited about that as well. 614-292-8513, or give us or send us an email at allsides@wosu.org. Robin did it. You can do it, too.
Kathy, you see a ballet student come in. They're usually quite young. I'm sorry you all can't see this because we have front of our station right now.
I just want to look at these babies walking by.
About how many babies do we have? That's the most lovely thing I've seen.
The cutest babies in the world.
How many?
There's
19. We have 19 babies in carts, and they're gorgeous.
It looks like a sculpture.
It's like they
talk amongst yourselves.
We're
looking at the babies.
They're looking at us like, what the?
Yeah, they're not real sure about us, but the adults are waving and smiling. Thank you very much. But
you guys are down underneath.
We're down underneath.
That's it.
We don't see the world.
I walk out in the afternoon, I feel like a vampire sometimes. Yeah. I swear, I'm like...
You say the weather on the radio, I say, look out the window and call me. We don't know. But when you're teaching and you're running the Dance Academy and you have a young child, what are you looking for? What do you think? Do you ever look at a little kid and say, this one could do it?
You're in dangerous territory here. Because
if you're a parent, don't be calling us. Yeah.
I actually was very fortunate to not have to be in this mold of what the perfect ballerina is, because I am not physically the perfect example of a ballerina.
But you died so beautifully on stage. I saw you do it. You did. And I did. Never mind. Go ahead.
Oh, my gosh. So
how do you do
this? I like to look at one, musicality. Mm-hmm. If there's the ability to pick up rhythm. But then if you see that a child actually is sensitive to a melodic line, if they've got a sense of imagination and wonder, those are my big things, and a mischievous spirit. I love that because that shows an energy that, you can try and tap into and hopefully will be in a positive way, not a negative way. But then, nowadays, people are always looking for the perfect feet, the perfect legs, long legs, short torso, long neck, small head. See, I don't fit any of those things.
But you've got the grace thing going on.
It's a total package.
I convinced you guys.
That's right.
It's like magic.
But the whole does not, or the parts do not necessarily
have
equal
to
the
add
ball.
Up right.
You're right.
Or whatever
right.
that's.
Yeah, yeah. It is how you package it. It's how you can mask some things. I tell you, our wardrobe department is fabulous because they know how to create costumes that will division. Hide the flaws.
And I wanted to ask Jonathan, while we have you in our last few minutes, what's this town like for theater? What's an actor's life in Columbus, Ohio?
Well, I've been extremely lucky. You know, 99% of the actors in this country are freelance actors. And I've been lucky enough in the last 20 years to have a full-time job at CACO, which is really rare. So, you know, I mean, the theater scene is, it's getting better, I guess. You know, it's hard for me to say, being the position I'm going to be in a few weeks where I'm going to be unemployed. But it's been good to me for 20 years, so it's hard for me to complain. But what the future holds, I have no idea.
Is the fact that there are a couple of more theater companies coming to the fore, playing in the Rife Center that weren't around 3 or 4 years ago, good or bad
for
CACO?
It's always a good thing. I mean, more theater means more theater.
Great, okay. Yeah.
So it's always a good thing.
Less is not more. Forget that. I hate that. Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
More
is
more.
Yeah. So it's getting better, I assume. It's getting better.
Christopher, you're looking at me.
I'm looking at you because I like to gaze. That's
I want to. I'm
tell doing the gaze.
We are at the corner of Cleveland Avenue.
I want
and
those babies
Long
to
Street.
Come back.
I want the baby. We're right across the street from the Luann Crane Center for design. Kitty corner, kind of, to strawberry-filled smoothies. That's not a hint. I just saying.
Well, they just fed us, though. That was if anybody else wants to do that, hint. I mean, I would never ask. It's not appropriate.
And, actually, watching you guys working here is fascinating. Because
why?
Because there's a guy who just came up and gave you a peace symbol, then I realized
I
that
missed
probably
no, that's
that.
Eric's show. He wants you to look at his tats. Oh. That's why he's doing that.
Yeah,
but
I know. I
want to make one point to you, Catherine. I had your husband on the show with Gerard Charles, the artistic director of Ballet Med, and I asked him if he could teach me how to dance. The man went gray on radio. I had never seen him.
With his red boots?
I had never seen him speechless, but he knitted together an answer, but it wasn't positive. So.
No, you know, he'd send you to me because
you could
I
do
would
it.
Teach.
Yeah, you could do it.
Herds cats.
We have a caller right now. Let's see if we can squeeze her in 30 seconds. Mary, you're... Now I'm being told I waited too long.
Look
we can't
him.
Do... Mary, hang on, okay? We'll talk later because we want to
talk
to you.
I like that.
I'm working on the technicalities
I was thinking maybe somebody would call from Russia.
I got to say goodbye to our guests, Kathy Yoshimura and Jonathan Putnam. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.